Genesis chapter 2. Think a while for this morning, and I'll do my best to finish early enough so that those of you that have plans to care for your mother at noon will have sufficient time to enjoy your family time together. Again, may I say, I appreciate so many of you, some of which came to honor your mother today, and you would normally been in your church. We appreciate your doing so. Thank you for coming. We hope that indeed the service today in honor to your mother will set your day off right. Now, I'd like to consider this morning in the biblical perspective a model mother. Now, I'm not talking about mothers that are models. I'm talking about a model mother. My wife said to me one day, she said, "Hun, I think you're a model husband." And I took that as a compliment. Then I looked the word model up. The definition of a model is a small replica of the real thing. I'm talking about model by way of principles, by way of good example. The Bible has a lot to say about mothers. I looked in one of the reference works that I was studying this past week, and even though the word mother is not used that often in the scriptures, the office of motherhood is often repeated and referred to. And the home in America today is the training center of the Christian life, with mother being the first instructor. We're told by psychologists that the first 2 years of any baby's life, that the mother is the strongest vital influence in that child's life. Henry Ward Beecher wrote that the mother's heart is the child's schoolroom. The mother's heart is the child's schoolroom. And yet so many times we think about mom as the one that cooks and cleans and comforts and corrects, and that many of us, especially as teenagers, think that our mothers have 6 pairs of hands and 2 sets of eyes in the back of her head. But the reality and understanding what a biblical mother is understood in the scriptures. And I want to share some of these things with you briefly this morning, and I will do my best, believe me, to be brief, and you don't know how much of an assignment that is for a Baptist preacher. But I want you to look with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 obviously records for us the matter of God's work of creation, the beginning of that work with the first man that he had created from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Here in verse 18, I would like for you to notice that indeed the Lord had created not only a man, but in Genesis 2, verse 18, it said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." I will make him a helpmeet for him. Though the name mother is not designated in that passage of Scripture, Eve, obviously, as the first wife, would soon become the first mother. And I believe in that text we should understand that one of the key ingredients toward being a model mother in the biblical perspective is that a mother is a model in complementing her husband. She is to be a complement to her husband. She is in turn then to be a complement to the children as a result of that marriage. You see, in the biblical perspective, Eve fit Adam's needs perfectly. She was everything that his nature, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, and socially, that first woman meant everything for the first man. This first wife, Eve, was to find her fulfillment in meeting Adam's needs, and in turn, having met his needs, to be loved and cared for by the first husband. May I say, and I promise not to chase this too far, but perhaps at a later date we'll come back to it, I'm fearful that in our society today, we are seeing a generation not just of young people, but a generation of people of various ages that have lost respect not only for women, but for their mothers. We're seeing a generation of rebels that not only are teenage, but some of them that have had the privilege of being married to a wonderful woman for a great amount of their life. And they've lost respect. They've lost their first love, so to speak. They've lost the reverence and the love that they initially had. At least they say that they've lost that. I am concerned when I hear reports of not only child abuse, but of wife abuse. I believe it's a problem that is deep-seated in sin, that a man would not only betray his wife, but dare raise a hand to beat his wife. You see, Eve was created to complete Adam, not to compete with Adam. May I say that's unpopular with some women today. I don't believe that a woman should be expected to compete with a man in the society that we're living. I don't believe that there's any place in the Word of God where God intended for the woman to be treated equal with a man. I believe a woman is to be treated better than a man. I believe that a woman in God's eyes, as the biblical perspective will unveil itself to us, indicates that a woman is to be held in high esteem. And whether a woman wants to hear it or not, the Bible says she is the weaker vessel, is to be held in honor and in esteem. I heard an old preacher several years ago reflecting back to the matter of Genesis chapter 2 and the woman being taken from man to be his completer instead of his competer. He said, we need to remind ourselves that that first wife and yea, that first mother was taken from Adam's rib under his arm to be protected and to be loved. Close to his heart, not from his foot to be trampled upon, neither from his hand to be slapped about, but indeed close to his heart to be loved. You see, that first wife, Eve, as is all wives to be and all mothers that are to be, are a completer to man, not a competer with man. By the way, that very fact of the model mother being a complement to her husband, in the biblical perspective, it is that relationship that is the foundation for marriage. Paul made reference to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9. He said, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. The woman is the completer that God finalized his work of creation when he made man, but the woman is the completer of man's life. So as we think in the biblical perspective of what a mother, what a model mother, what an example of a mother ought to be, then the first quality of that model mother is that she complements her husband. The second quality is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. That a mother is to be a model not only that is a complement to her husband and yea, also to her children, but a mother that is a model is to also be a model of contentment. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6 it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I realize that our society today, of a credit card filled life, of a very materialistic society in which we're living in, that there are a lot of people that are manifesting a lack of contentment. A lot of women are manifesting, some of them very early in their marriage, a lack of contentment, a lack of satisfaction. But may I say to you, if you're a child of God and you've been born again today, dear mother, you need to be content in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that contentment will be manifest in the godliness of your life and your character. Happy is the woman who is able to find contentment no matter what her lot happens to be. Even in the midst, mother, of a day that may go wrong, if as a child of God you have a faith in Jesus Christ, then be content in that His grace is sufficient. A life that is free from covetousness among women is one that is certainly blessed of God. A woman who will find that her contentment, that the very hub of her life is in the Lord, will certainly not be a mother that is fretting about the future or uncertain about the circumstances. One writer said in regard to that contentment and the influence of a mother by contentment, he said, and I quote, part of the magnetism that is characteristic of a successful family is the pull of love that comes from the mother. I have seen, down over almost 25 years of ministry, I've seen many a family that was retrieved and held together only by the determined love that a mother had for Jesus Christ. Only that determination within her that indeed nothing outside of the will of God was going to happen to her family. And many of you, dear mothers here today, need to be thanked and praised for having kept your family together under some of the most adverse of circumstances. A mother that is a model of contentment. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Then there's a third quality that a model or an example of a mother should communicate, and that is that she should communicate. She should be a model of communication. If you look with me to a passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. A mother that is a model that should be followed is one that is not only a model as a complement to her husband and a model of contentment within her own soul, but a mother that is to be modeled is one that is a model in her communication. Ladies, one way in which your inward beauty is manifest is by your speech. Ladies, one way in which the inner knowingness of your heart is made evidence to those that come into your presence is the way in which you speak. Again, perhaps indicate some old-fashioned upbringing. Having been the youngest and still the youngest of four sons, My father told us and taught us by his example to respect our mother. And I remember still many of those influences that as a child, and I could not help but think even this morning, the most valuable thing outside of my salvation, the most valuable material object that I have today is a locket. It was given to me upon my mother's passing. I took that locket and I have it placed in the greatest place of protection that I can find because it's irreplaceable. It's the only material part of my mother that I have to cherish. And inside that little old-fashioned locket that's so frail, it opens up and inside the picture of my father and her back years ago. And I thought of that this morning as I was going over this message and having prepared it earlier, and I shared with fondness in my own heart the way in which my mother, as a devoted mother and wife, communicated unto us the matter of what is right and what is wrong. A mother that is a model in her communication of how she speaks, of how she presents herself by her speaking. But if you look with me also in Proverbs chapter 31, that a mother that is a model or an example to follow is not only a model that is a compliment to her husband, not only a model of contentment that is prompted by godliness, and one that is a model in her communication and how she indeed addresses herself. But in Proverbs 31, a mother that is a model of commerce. There are two widely diversified groups of people that come to mind as I think concerning motherhood. There are two widely diversified opinions that I think of when I think of motherhood in regard to our society. It would not be my purpose at this time to debate as far as whether a mother should work outside of the home or not, because I believe that there are two possible dangers. I believe that there is the danger as we think concerning an active mother, a dedicated mother in her commerce or in her action, that there is the danger of going too extreme. There's the danger of seeing, as I have seen down over the years, mothers who become so involved in so many things that they begin to major on the minor and minor on the major. That mothers sometimes become so overly occupied in so many other areas that some of them have forgotten that one of the priorities that should be first in their life is the building of a home and the structuring of a family and the instructing of children. And yet I recognize certainly, and I'll be honest enough to admit it, that in our society many times mothers working outside of the home is necessitated. But I see a greater danger in some perspective than a mother that works outside of the home and is active, as we see it described here in Proverbs 31. There's a greater danger among some mothers, and that is those who become indolent, who become indifferent, who stay at home but do nothing, who sit down in the midst of a multitude of housework and leave it uncompleted or indifferent or unaccomplished. Those, I believe, can both be taken to extremes. But Lemuel writes in this final proverb of Proverbs 31 concerning the influence of his mother. And I preached from this text of Proverbs 31 last Mother's Day, and I want to go back over some of the similar territory other than to share these things briefly in Proverbs 31. Here in this 31st proverb are some principles for mothers. An excellent, virtuous mother, according to Proverbs 31, is number one. According to verse 10, that such type of mother is far above rubies. That plaque that we handed to the mothers here today has the chain of rubies around that plaque, indicating that a mother's worth is greater than the most valuable precious stone in the world. By the way, the diamond is not the most valuable precious stone in the world. The ruby is. And the Lord said here in Proverbs 31, under Holy Spirit inspiration, that a godly wife, a godly mother's value is far above rubies, far above the most worldly material that you can attain any type of value to. If you notice in verse 11 of Proverbs 31, not only is she more than far above rubies, but she gains the confidence of her husband. She gains the confidence of her husband. Her husband does safely trust in her. That's an important prerequisite for a happy marriage. By the way, it can be inverted. That indeed the
wife ought to be able to safely trust in her husband. But the husband is able to trust in that godly mother's example, and allowing her out of his sight is be able to trust her character. In verse 12, you notice that the godly mother, the Lemuel writes concerning, does good for her husband. Does good for her husband. If a man has a wife that is supportive of him and prays for him and cares for him, that indeed he has that far above Ruby's person. That wife, that mother, is to be good for her husband. If you notice then very quickly also in verse 14 and 17, that godly woman is a model in her commerce because she works eagerly and vigorously for her family. That should be number one priority, the family. J. Edgar Hoover said that a solution to the problem of juvenile delinquency in America is not the electric chair, but the high chair. The place of instruction, the first place of instruction, revolves around the dedication of a mother who will concentrate priorities eagerly and vigorously toward her family. And in verse 15, if you notice, she is hospitable with her children and others. The matter of being hospitable, being cordial, being outgoing or extending to friends and her children. And that godly mother that is an example of good commerce and good business and good activity practices sound money management. If you notice there, chapter 31 of Proverbs, verse 16, again in verse 18, again in verse 24, a woman is a wise financier that is able to, by her godly example, express the matter of financial discernment. Lemuel also pointed out that a far above Ruby's mother is willing to share her goods with those who are in need, according to verse 20. Those who are in need are those of which a godly mother will extend herself to help. A godly mother, in verse 21, is one that prepares ahead of time for her family's needs. She knows that a need is forthcoming. And a godly mother, by her activity, by her commerce, will indeed plan ahead of time for the needs of her family. Verse 25, a godly mother is a woman that is confident and dignified. No, really, when it comes right down to it, the beautiful part of an aging mother is her outward reflection of her heart. That's why that I believe that a woman that has walked and talked with the Lord and communicated with the Lord as a Christian and has grown perhaps up in years, and earlier we were standing back there and Brother Benedict had made reference to some things concerning age. And he made reference to older people. One of the men was there and inquired a little more fully as far as what is older. By the way, you know that age is relative, right? For those of us now that are in our 40s and headed closer to 50, isn't it amazing as to where we have younger doctors than what we used to have? Huh? Isn't it amazing now as to where people seem to be getting married younger than what they used to be? That's a reflection that we're getting older, right? People younger than us are starting to look like infants. But here in reality, Lemuel makes reference that a mother is confident and dignified. A woman that has gotten up in years and has walked faithfully with the Lord has an outward presence that I find so admirable, so held in high esteem. Then if you notice there in Proverbs 31 and verse 26 that a model mother is a wise and a good teacher. In verse 26, the statement, and she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. This godly mother that by her busyness, by her commerce, is busily overseeing the activities of her household, according to verse 27. And in verse 28, that godly mother by her example earns the respect of her family. In verse 28, the statement is made, and her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. I said a while ago, and have attempted to express to those of you that made an extra special effort to be here to honor your mother today, I'm certain that verse of Scripture is applicable to your life. Her children arise up and call her blessed. But I want you to notice that most importantly, the most important thing about this model mother of Proverbs 31 is that she is a woman that fears the Lord. Notice the statement in verse 30. Proverbs 31 and verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Not only does Lemuel in the Old Testament book of Proverbs make reference to that model of commerce that a godly mother would express, but Titus gives us an interesting statement in the little book addressed to him in Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, where it says that the younger women are to be keepers at home. Keepers at home. And this involves keeping the home, working and being busy within the home. Even though this may be an insult to some women, perhaps only a few, the word homemaker ought to describe every mother. Even if she may be diversified in some area of professional training, even if she is working outside of the home, the greatest honor within that home is that she is the maker of that home. One writer said, of all the home remedies, a good wife or mother is the best. Of all of the remedies of which the American home needs, it still needs its mother. The reality of understanding the quality of the character of a woman. I read this and thought perhaps you ladies especially might appreciate it, even though I may be disdained upon by the men. The column written by columnist Bob Green some months ago, he cited a study by attorney Michael Minton on the monetary value of a wife's service within the home. Mr. Minton listed the various functions that a wife or mother performs. They included the fact that she, for many families, is the chauffeur. She also, for others, is the gardener, the family counselor, the maintenance worker. In many homes, mom is the cleaning woman, the housekeeper, the cook, the errand runner, the bookkeeper, the budget manager. Many moms are the interior decorator, the caterer, the dietitian, the secretary, the public relations woman, and the hostess. The financier Minton went on to say and published in Green's column, he said, using this impressive list of household duties, he figured the dollar value of a housewife's work in today's labor market. Lady, here's the figures that the financier came up with. You as a mother or wife, the amount that your pay should be per week, with those facts in mind, was accumulated at being $785.07 a week. Need a raise. He accumulated all of those responsibilities and the financial responsibility to those that do them. Do you realize that that amount is over $40,820 a year? It's a good thing mothers haven't unionized. But a mother is a model in her commerce, in her business ability, and recognizing that mother's primary business is the home. May I also say that a mother is to be a model in her chastity, in her purity. See, God's desire for each of our life, both male and female, is the purity of all ages. In our day of open sexuality and promiscuity and adultery and divorce and abortion, when those things are so commonplace, we need to reemphasize the responsibility that every woman has. That's to be clean and pure. See, I fear that our soap opera lifestyles of so many today are too prevalent. We see that unrealistic perspective of what life and living is all about. And some people, having seen that through their TV set, set it about to live that lifestyle. And you wreck and ruin your home. The openness of sin, the openness of adultery, and the openness of promiscuity and immoral and illicit relationship is indeed an indicator of the sickness of our society. But indeed, it needs the hypodermic needle of an interjection of godly motherhood in the face of a man. Abraham Lincoln once said that no man is poor who has a godly mother. The Spanish proverb reads, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priests. What he was saying was that a godly mother's influence is more powerful than the most dedicated man of God could have as an influence upon our lives. The poet has written, mothers whose spirits the world never alters, mothers with courage and mothers who pray, mothers whose faith never wavers nor falters. These are the mothers the world needs today. Godly example of model of purity. By the way, if young ladies today are going to learn that same chaste behavior, the greatest example is, the closest example to them is their mother. May I say also that a mother is to be a model of cooperation. I say many times in talking with young married couples that marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. If a marriage is not 100 and 100, it's not a happy marriage. If a mother is not willing to give 100% to her husband, and if a husband is not willing to give 100% to his wife, then indeed that needs to be recognized as a dangerous circumstance. See, even before Paul, in that fifth chapter of Ephesians, commanded the wife to be subject unto her own husband, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, where he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Before he even gives that word of admonition to wives, in verse 21, the most preceding verse in Ephesians 5:21, he exhorts both the husband and the wife to submit themselves one to another in the fear of God. It needs to be a mutual submission for the home to be all that it should be. No one has more influence in the world than mothers. You realize in the right perspective that a godly mother has more influence on this nation than the President of the United States? You realize in the biblical balance of the importance of priorities that a godly model mother has more influence to yield than any other power broker in the world? And she can begin it with the earliest minutes after a child is born. For better or for worse, a mother shall never forever have an impact upon the life of her children. A writer has written a paraphrase of that passage that we all love in 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter. If we have not love, we become sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. But a mother has paraphrased that passage in 1 Corinthians 13. It's a little lengthy, but let me share this with you. A mother has written 1 Corinthians 13 from a mother's perspective. She said, if I talk to my children about what is right and what is wrong, but have not love, I am a ringing doorbell or pots banging in the kitchen. And though I know what stages they will go through and understand their growing pains and can answer all their questions about life and believe myself to be a devoted mother, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give up the fulfillment of a career to make my children's lives better and stay up all night sewing costumes or baking cookies on short notice, but grumble about a lack of sleep, I have not love and accomplish nothing. A loving mother is patient with her children's immaturity and kind even when they are not. A loving mother is not jealous of her youth, nor does she hold it over their heads whenever she has sacrificed for them. A loving mother does not push her children into doing things her way. She is not irritable when the chicken pox have kept her confined with three whining children for 2 weeks. She does not resent the child who brought the affliction home in the first place. A loving mother is not relieved when her disagreeable child finally disobeys her directly so she can punish him, but rather rejoices with him or her when he is being more cooperative. A loving mother, the writer says, bears much of the responsibility for her children. She believes in them. She hopes in each one's individual ability to stand out in a light of a dark world. And she endures every backache and heartache to accomplish that. A loving mother never really dies. As for home-baked bread, it will be consumed and forgotten. As for spotless floors, they will soon gather dust and heel marks. But as for children, well, right now, toys, friends, and food are important to them. But when they grow up, it will have been how their mother loved them that will determine how they love others. And in that way, mother will always live on. She concludes by writing, so care, training, and a loving mother reside in a home, these three. But the greatest of these is the loving mother. See, what the writer was saying is that a woman's divinely appointed position as a mother is the highest appointment of all. And may I say in concluding that not only is a mother to be a model that complements her husband, that it is content in the godliness of a character and that communicates to the children and the family, and not only is she to be a model in commerce and chastity and cooperation, but may I say especially to those of us that are husbands today, that a mother is to be a model of companionship.
You see, instead of that relationship of husband and wife cooling off, companionship can remain vital only when courtship continues to be practiced. The same courtesies that won each other's affections as husband and wife should keep them to the end. Children need to know that dad still loves mom. Whether those children are still under the roof of the home or outside of the home, there needs to be no question that dad still loves mom. And I say in closing this morning, these words of the poet, entitled My Mother. Grace Jemison Cornelius writes, she was my mother. She was love. God sent her to us from above. No great career, no one great deed could give her fame, for fortune leave. As I recall her smiling face, I see a queen of stately grace. She wove a life of golden lace that time and tears cannot erase. She was my mother. She gave the most that there was to give. She knew no other way to live. She never wanted wealth or gold, and what she treasured could not be sold. As memories of time unfold, I feel the love her life did hold. And when her heart could give no more, God opened up another door to paradise and joys unknown, to reap the love so dearly sown. To heal her heart is what he chose, to give her peace and sweet repose. The work is ended, new life begun, in obeying God she truly won. The understanding, as I see in the Lord's description of motherhood in the Bible, is that we need more mothers that would follow these admonitions. Precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer this morning, we pause in your presence to lift up a note of thanks for each woman that is a mother. And for these, Lord, today, that before us have heard these admonishments, encourage their hearts, Lord. There may be a dear mother here today that is going through some period of difficulty. Maybe just the presence of her family with her today, the presence of God in her life, would be what's needed to encourage her heart. There may be a mom that is here today, Lord, that is going through some trials that only you and she knows about. Would you speak to her heart, encourage her, Lord, and lift her spirit? I pray as well, Lord, as we pray for mothers today, I pray for husbands and fathers as well. Lord, that support that mothers need many times needs to be reminded of responsibilities as well. And oh, dear Lord, how I pray for the divine example that the Word of God gives us that mothers can follow. Lord, I would pray if there'd be one in this service, mother or father, teenager, boy or girl, in this service this morning that does not know the sure fact of salvation safe under the shed blood of Christ, that they've never been born again. Oh, Lord, what a great mother's gift could be rewarded today by that precious son or daughter coming to know Christ today. Lord, I pray especially for those that need to follow the Lord, need to obey him, need to accept him today. Lord, just give us the courage to step out today and do that which is right. Father, bless in this time of invitation. We're promised to praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.